If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of 1 John. We read a story this week about a Tennessee boy who was getting married and he needed some money. Guys, you recognize this. When you start getting ready to get married, you need, it's expensive to get married. And he needed some more money. And so what he decided to do was he saw an ad in the paper for a job in Dublin, Ireland. Didn't want to do it, but he decided he was going to go do that. He was going to make a lot of money. He could save up. And so he and his fiance parted for a period of time. They would talk, though, and every night he would tell her that he's at home. Listen, I am thinking about you. I love you. I miss you. Well, in month three, she sent him a guitar. She sent him a guitar. Well, as they're talking, he continues to tell her how much he misses her, and she's going, In her mind, she's thinking, I hope he's not messing with the little Irish ladies and all those things. And he had said, listen, it's tempting, but I'm staying true. I'm staying faithful. You've sent me this guitar. I practice guitar every night. I'm writing new songs. I'm playing. I can't wait. Six months in, she travels over to Dublin so that she can see her fiance. They end up, they get together, they see each other, it's the dramatic slow motion run. They end up, they see each other, they hug, they embrace. He leans in to give her a kiss and she backs up and she says, not yet. I want to see how well you've learned to play that guitar. See, she wanted to verify, has this dude really been doing what it is that he said he's been doing? Folks, listen, we jumped in last week to the book of 1 John talking about a whole new series about what it means to be verified. Are we verified in who we say we are, and are we doing what we say we're doing? Are we truly followers of Jesus? I shared with you last week how I do more counseling around. How do I know that I'm really a follower of Christ? Listen, I'm going to use the word besetting sins. They keep bothering me, and they're causing me to doubt. Have I really trusted Jesus? How do I know that I'm verified as a follower of Christ? And I always take people. Listen, I always take people to the book of 1 John. 1 John was written by the disciple whom Jesus loved and who love Jesus a lot. 1 John was written all about how do we know that we have assurance of salvation? And there's given these diagnostics all throughout the book that if you really follow Jesus, if you're really a verified follower of Jesus, your life looks like this. You do these things. We don't do these things. And it's not just a set of actions, because if you'll remember last week, we talked about those that are verified. They know Jesus. So first and foremost, they know Jesus. Secondly, they've been changed by Jesus. If I say I know Jesus, then I should be changed by Jesus. And then the third piece of that was, if you'll remember, they love the people of Jesus. They love gathering with believers, all right? And one of the saddest passages in all the Bible is in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said at the end of his sermon there, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, listen, there are going to be those who come to me. They're going to be coming to me, and they're going to say, Jesus, didn't I do this for you? Didn't I do this for you? Didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I heal the sick in your name? Didn't I go to Sunday school in your name? Didn't I do preschool in your name? I held the door open for people to come in your name? And the scripture tells us, Matthew says, he quotes Jesus as saying, depart from me, I never knew you. Listen, it is possible for us to fool our friends. It's even possible sometimes to fool ourselves, isn't it? I mean, we're self-deceptive, but it's impossible to fool Jesus. And so today, we're jumping in to First John chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verses 5. We're going to read six verses, 5 through 10. And today we're going to continue on. And what does it mean to be verified? And I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple of things. I want you to write them down. I want you to be able to see them as we talk and as we walk through this. As we see this, we're going to see that people who are truly verified in Christ, it's recognizable by how they deal with their sin and what they do with it. Do they recognize their sin and do they deal with it? So verified Christians, number one, they run from the darkness. The scripture is going to tell us. They run from the darkness. The second thing that they do, verified people who are verified followers of Christ, they are Christians, is that not only do they run from the darkness, they walk in the light. Message we have heard from him and we proclaim to you. Remember, John's writing. He's an old man. He's writing to a bunch of young followers of Jesus, all right, there in the city of Ephesus, in that area. He says, this is what I've heard from him, and now I proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, John says this. John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. All throughout scripture, all throughout the comparison, the contrast, the metaphor of light and darkness. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. He said that we as followers, that we should light, that we are also the light, and that we should not hide our light under a bushel. We should set it up where it could be seen. In this passage right here, he says that God himself is light and there is no darkness in him. If you're taking a few notes, I want you to write down some little compare and contrast thing here. If you're thumbing some things in, I think this is really important because we're going to come back to this. I want you to see this. All throughout scripture, there's a contrast between light and dark. And even in our own lives, we see this. Whether it's in movies, whether it's in literature, whether we just know this inherently. Think about this. Light represents honesty. Darkness represents lies and falsehood. Light represents life. Life. Darkness represents death. Light represents good. Darkness represents evil. Light represents revealing. Darkness represents what? Concealing. Light represents holy. Darkness represents unholy. Light represents safety. Darkness represents danger. Folks, all throughout scripture, when does crime typically happen? When does crime typically happen? At night. It typically happens at night. Maybe your mom was like my mom. My mom would always tell me, she said, listen, son, ain't nothing good happening after dark. Okay? And in many instances, she's right. Ain't much happening good after dark. You see, all throughout scripture, we wouldn't even argue about the fact that today our world is a pretty dark place, would we? Our world's a pretty dark place. There's a hit country song out right now. Some of you are going to know it. By a guy named Thomas Rhett. I don't even know if the dude's a believer or not, but he's written this song. It's called Be a Light. I want to read a couple of verses to you of what he says, or a couple of lines, not verses, a couple of lines of what he says. This song says, in a time of war, be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. In a world full of hate, be a light. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark. You were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. Many of you were singing that in your mind. You were hearing that song as it was going off. Listen, here's the thing about that song. I don't know if the dude's a believer or not, and I need you to be really, I want you to hear this. This is not, what that song is not the gospel, but it sure echoes the gospel. It echoes the gospel because when he talks about the world looking for peace, who is peace? Jesus. Who is light? God. And Jesus said he is the light of the world. Listen, our world today, because it is a dark place, is looking for people who are following the light. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. And the scripture tells us here that if we are followers of God who is light, yet we say we are running towards darkness, we are walking in darkness, the scripture says, he says, you a lie. You lying. So the question today is what is the pattern of your walk? How is it that you're walking? You see, if God is light, in other words, God is holy, God is just, he is righteous, he is all loving, he is good, he is honest. The scripture says that's who he is. And if we say that we follow, we align ourselves with God, the Father of all lights, he is the one that I've surrendered my life to, but yet I'm walking in darkness. Now, stay with me here real quick, okay? I need you to stay with me on this. In the scripture, when it talks about walking, in verse 6 and 7, it talks about walking in darkness, walking in light. When it's talking about that, what he's meaning is this. He's talking about the pattern of your life, the habit of your life. Because you need to be really clear on this. We're not talking, I'm coming back to this. We're talking about direction. Is the pattern of your life headed and running towards darkness, or is the pattern of your life walking towards the light? Because he says this, if you identify with God, who is light, if you identify with him, yet you are running to darkness. Verified believers do not run to darkness. He says, if the pattern of your life looks like that, you're lying. And again, remember, I can fake it to my coworkers. I can probably even fake it to some of my friends, but you cannot fake it in the presence of God, because he sees and he knows. He knows. Now, I want us to take for just a few moments here. You know that list we talked about just a minute ago, light and dark? I want you to evaluate your marriage on that. Is your marriage, is it light or is it dark? Is it honest? Is it truthful? Is it holy? Is it revealing, or are you trying to conceal something from somebody? Is it a safe place? Does it reflect the Father, or is it a place of death, a place of concealing? I don't want somebody to know what's going on. I'm not honest. How about if you're single in here? What does your life look like? Is it a life? If you're single, is your life alive? A life that's looking like it's honest. It is revealing. I'm living out loud. This is who I am. This is who I follow. Listen, I'm not doing something over here that I wouldn't want anyone else to know. Let me ask you this. What's it like? Are you pursuing darkness in your business life? Or are you recognizing that even in our business life, we represent the Father of all light? God is light. And in him there is no darkness. Now, if you're like me, and I think you are at some level, I've got to go back. I'm not talking about perfection. Because as followers of Jesus, we still struggle. Listen, my heart has been changed, but I'm still living in this old body of flesh. And part of what was happening in the day in which this was written, John was having to combat false teachers and the culture that said, listen, as long as you say, I love Jesus or I love God, the spirit is what matters and you can do whatever you want in the flesh because it's passing away. He said, that's not true. How we live out our lives matters, because if all that mattered was our soul, when you surrendered your life to Christ, what would God have done? Taking you to heaven. He didn't know. He's left us here to represent. Now, some of you right now, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, Kyle, hold on. I am a follower of God. He is the Father of light. I'm a child of light, yet I feel like I keep walking into darkness. Listen, there are some of you today, the pattern of your life is headed in that direction. And I want you to hear me. If you're struggling today with an addiction of pornography, alcohol, drugs, I don't know what else we can put in there. Maybe it's a food addiction. I don't know. I want to help you. I want to get you in touch with someone. I want to walk with you because I want you to hear this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:1 says there is possible for you to be a follower of Christ and be so addicted to something that I want to help you walk out of that. I don't know how we do that, but as a community, we need to come together, okay, and help figure out how to get you where you need help. There are others of you in here, though, you're addicted to lying. Gossip, division. And I want you to hear me. Those are deeds of darkness. Your pattern of life is running after the father of lies, the one who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the scripture tells us that if we are of light, if God who is light, and we are his children, then we need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the light, which leads me directly to, well, let me say this. Several months ago, in fact, it's almost been a year ago, I believe it is, we had a sermon here that one of the bottom lines, you know how we bottom things out, this is the main point, was this. Fight is evidence of faith. Fight is evidence of faith. I want you to hear that. I'm not a perfect man. There are things that I struggle with that you don't struggle with. There's a lady over here that struggles with something that this lady over here doesn't struggle with. But the question is have you just given in to that pattern? Is that just the habit of your life? Or are you fighting it? God, I want to be free of this. I'm doing battle with this every day so that I can return and go to you. I want to follow you. I'm going to walk in this pattern, not run in this way. See, because fight is an evidence of faith. Because verified followers of Jesus, they don't run after the darkness. They don't run after the darkness. Verified believers do this, though. They walk in the light. So let's go to the number two here. Verified believers, they walk in the light. Verse 8 through 10 says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Isn't that amazing? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So if we say we've not sinned, we're lying. If we say we have not sinned now, then we're making him a liar. You see, he's using some very key, strong words here. And his word is not in us. Notice in verse 10, real quick, he says, if we have no sin, and then he transitions in verse 9 and says, sins. There's an S, all right? I'm coming back to that. The scripture tells us that when we were born, every one of us in here, when we were born dead in our trespasses and sin. We were not born good. We were born sinners, all right? We were born sinners because our first father, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he ate the fruit, he bit the lie, and we were broken from then. We were broken. And that sin nature was passed on to us. Passed on. One and only Son, Jesus Christ, who came, who lived a perfect life because he had no sin nature, because he was of the Holy Spirit, the scripture tells us. He was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, so he didn't have the sin nature in him. That's why the virgin birth is so very important. So that he then lived out the perfect life. He never sinned. He never walked in darkness or ran towards darkness. He always walked in the light and did what the Father desired. So that at one point in my life and those of you in here who have surrendered your lives to Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit awoke in you, your eyes came alive because your heart came alive. And you responded and said, I believe, not just I believe here, the pattern of my life, my walk is going to be different because of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be perfect. I won't be perfect till I see Jesus face to face in heaven. But everything I do is going to be guided by Him. Romans chapter 7 is very encouraging to me because in there, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, he said, listen, there are things that I do that I don't want to do. That's sin. You recognize that, right? There are things I don't want to do and I ended up doing. The things I want to do, I don't do. What about David, the one who was a man after God's own heart, who committed adultery and then had the woman's husband murdered? What about Peter? What about Peter? Peter, who on the night that Jesus was betrayed, denied he knew him three times. And God even, Jesus even told him, you're going to deny me three times. Okay, so guys, hear this. It's not about perfection, but it is about direction. It's about what's the pattern of your life. And you know what the great thing about this whole passage is this? About this whole section? Is that the picture here is that if we're going to not run towards darkness, but we're going to walk in the light, everything about this screams that we've got to be people who are ready to confess and to repent. We have to be ready to confess and repent. Repent means to turn. Literally, it literally means to turn. What are you doing this to walking towards the light? The great North African church father, his name was Augustine. Here's what Augustine said. He wrote a letter to a guy he was debating named Pelagius. And here's what he said. He said, the church isn't a place, catch this, the church isn't a place for perfect Christians. Sick sinners get well. Somebody ought to be saying amen about that. I mean, because this week, all of your life, there are some of us in here, you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know him as your Lord and Savior. And you're not running towards darkness. You didn't even know there was a thing about dark and light. You're just rolling. I'm in this vein, and this is what I do. And you know what gets you in that vein? The fact that you were born in sin. Not that you've done all these sins. It's the fact that you were born. We've all been pointed in that direction. And it's only when the Holy Spirit awakens you, opens your eyes, that then you are able to turn and you begin to walk in the light. You see, the real difference, here's what it means to be a verified follower of Christ. We're all about continually repenting and changing the direction that we end up in. Folks, have you ever just found yourself, why did I do that? Why did I say that? How all is right there, that is the Holy Spirit awakening you to confess and to repent. This is not where I wanted to be because I follow Jesus Christ, but what I did didn't reflect him. Verified believers, they don't run to darkness. They walk in the light. And to do that means you've got to turn. You see, and if you don't recognize all that Jesus did to pay the penalty for your sin, if that's not become a weight for you, and when I mean weight, not a burden that is too heavy to carry, I'm talking about a realization that God sent his one and only Son, and he hung on a cross. He was crucified. You see, we think many times the gospel is only for those who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I want you to hear this. The gospel is for those who do not know the Lord and Savior. But the gospel is also for those of us who do know the Lord, know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's that he desires to continually to forgive us. Not so that we can have a, not so that we can be saved, but it's so that our relationship can be unhindered again. Have you ever been in a situation where you were in a bad way with someone in your family or a friend or anything like that? Like there was a problem between you guys. You there needed to be reconciliation. You were struggling with one another. And it wasn't until you went and you, someone broke the ice and said, "Hey, I've wronged you." And you were able then to reconcile that relationship. Listen, look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, if we claim to have no sin, you're going, are you going to finish that? I'm coming back to it. Verse 8 says, if we claim to have no sin, it sounds silly, doesn't it? But don't we live like that? That we minimize it? Most of us in here would say, oh, I sin. But what we really end up doing is we minimize it. It's not that bad. Have you seen what so-and-so does? And I'm not like that. Or it's not this. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, if you've never read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you need to spend some time there. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was speaking to the crowd, and he said, listen, and the Pharisee says, hey, the speck in this guy's eye, but you're missing the log that's in your own eye. Because you, what, me? What about him? He says, listen, if you claim to have no sin, look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, but if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just. That means righteous. He is right. God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Folks, that right there, verse 9, is the best news ever. It is the fact that if you are far from God, you do not know him, that if you would confess your sin, my sin of unbelief, I've put my faith in my work, I've put my faith in money, I've put my faith in my job, in my family, I've put my faith, I've counted on all these things, but I've not counted on Jesus. I've not counted on him. I've made my decisions through the filter of these things, when in reality, our sin has to do with faith. Sin, S-I-N. And I've put my faith now in Jesus. And he's going to be the filter and the grid through which I make every decision. And here's what I want you to catch. Once you surrender your life to him as Lord and Savior, he forgives you. Your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin, it is gone. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. He didn't just pay your debt. He didn't just cancel your debt. Ligon Duncan, the theologian, says this. He liquidated it. He liquidated it. It's gone. So when I sin, listen, my heart is grieved when I sin, not because I'm in fear of losing my salvation, but because my relationship is hindered now. You know, my wife's birthday was Wednesday. And 5:30 in the morning, on her birthday, I popped off. Get out of bed, she comes in, and I say something stupid. I know that's hard to believe. Morning is not the time to say something stupid. On her birthday. You know what? As I'm sitting there, I just see those eyes get red and big puddles. She turns and leaves. And immediately I know, not I've screwed up. I broke my wife's heart out of something I said that was not even... God, I've broken your heart because this is a child of God. This is your child that you've given me to cherish. And she came back about 15 minutes later. I said, whoa. I am so sorry. I was wrong. That's wrong. Well, like that, that I'm sure facing it and I'm doing things that do not honor God. And the Holy Spirit set on me to turn and say, God, I need to walk in the light. And you know what you do? You confess before him, and then you reconcile that relationship so that there can be unhindered relationship with me and Amy. Folks, listen, when we come to the Father, because we have broken his heart, is your heart grieved? Listen, if you're a verified follower of Jesus, when you are walking in the deeds of darkness and you recognize that, the Holy Spirit awakens you, does it grieve you? If it doesn't grieve you and you just continue to walk, are you really, listen, are you living under grace? You may be living in the grave still, to be honest with you. And I can say that because it's me also. Folks, listen, if we are verified followers of Christ, we do not run to the darkness. The scripture says that we repent. In fact, Martin Luther, the great reformer who started the Reformation, October 31, 1517, he had 95, called theses. He had 95 complaints that he went to the castle door in Wittenberg. He nailed them on there. The very first line of the believer is to be one of repentance. It's to be one of repentance. The word repent literally means to turn. I've been facing the way of darkness. And I turn. God, I'm sorry. I am going to repent and I'm going to start walking in the light. Let me ask you today, which direction are you walking? As someone who calls themselves a follower of Christ, what direction are you walking? What is the pattern of your life? What is the habit of your life? What is the manner in which you live? Does the manner in which you live verify what it is that you say? I follow Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I've got my ticket. Now my life looks like it's running to hell, but I've got him. Listen, I don't get upset when lost people act lost. What I get upset about is when saved people who say they're saved act lost. Yeah, I got anybody in this room with me today? Folks, we as children of the light, the pattern of our life should be that we walk like the Father of light. Verified believers don't run to darkness. We walk in the light. We don't live in continual sin. Do we sin? Yes, we do. Because we drag around this old flesh. I'm thankful that the Father has forgiven us. He's not one that's kicking us to the curb. The prodigal son, you remember that? When the prodigal son said, give me everything that that is coming to me, I'm going to a far land and I'm going to live the life of debauchery. That means party hard. He spent it all, was living with the pigs. Jewish people do not eat pork. They do not handle. That means he was at the lowest of the low. It says he got up, came to his senses. What in the world? Says when he got up and he went home. He was going to go home to be a slave, to be a servant. The scripture tells us that the Father was looking for him, saw him coming, and what did he do? Come on up. You get right here. Get down. You tell me what you got to tell me. You apologize to me, and then we'll see. No, the scripture says that he saw him from afar off, and he ran to him. We have a good, good Father who loves us. And all he asks is that you turn and you repent His loving kindness leads to repentance. And today, he stands here today and he says, if you've never surrendered, I stand here today. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I prayed for you this morning. We prayed for you this morning that you, your eyes would be open and that you would respond to the Holy Spirit who is calling you right now. For some of you, most of us in this room, I would say, our lives today need to be a life of repentance, confession. Jesus, I love you. I thank you. I honor you. I magnify you. And I ask that you would have your way in these moments. God, I pray that you would awaken people today who need to know you as Savior. God, I pray for those of us in this room today who are followers of Christ and our lives don't look like you. We've been walking a path and a pattern and the habit of our life has not reflected you this week. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us and cause us to turn, confess, and run to you. And I'm thankful that when we do turn to run to you, to the light, you're already there. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. Zion and our team, Jordan, they're here. And here's our response today. All of us have a response. I want you to hear that. One, we can stand and worship, and we have much to worship. We can give tithes and offerings as you're headed out. We have much to steward. The Lord's been good to us. There are some of you in here today, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've not. In just a moment, we're gonna stand up. We're gonna sing. And when we stand up and sing, here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. Here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. When we stand up to sing, CJ Biggs and Kurt Wagner are out in the hallway. I want you to walk out there to them and they want to talk with you. Today. I want you to do that. I don't want you to leave. If you're online, that number, whatever it is, I don't remember. I want you to text Jesus, text the word Jesus. You're not texting Jesus. I want you to text. I want you to text in the word Jesus, and we're going to get with you today. Don't leave here. Here's what I want you to hear. For the rest of us in here who know Jesus, today is the day. This is a time of confession and repentance. If we say we have no sin, you're a liar. And you make him to be a liar. You can take and turn your chair right where you are into an altar. Turn around, get on your knees, God, and cry out to him. You can kneel where you are. You can stand and whatever it is. But do not leave here. Everyone has a response. He's called us today. Father, I love you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. And I'd ask everyone to stand. And if you need to surrender your life to Christ, would you move now? Let's stand.